You're listening to U105 with me, Pamela Ballantyne, and I'm joined now on the line by our Finance Minister, Martina Mueller, who's in Cardiff today, set to meet with the Welsh Finance Minister and the Scottish Finance Minister to discuss what can be done as these devolved governments and what the implications of Brexit mean to our finances. Martina, very good morning to you.
Good morning, Pam. The sun is shining in Cardiff, so I hope that's a good omen for our meeting. I don't know what the weather's like at Belfast.
Well, grey, cloudy and wet, Martin. I don't know if that's an omen.
Well, hopefully not. This is the first opportunity the three finance ministers have had to come together since the referendum. I met the Scottish Minister, Derek Mackay, and Mark Drakeford, the Welsh Minister, last month, but things have changed considerably since then, and we wanted to come together and see how we can speak with one voice. As you know, Wales voted to leave. The Scots voted to remain, as did we. And as you know, I'm a big supporter of protecting the mandate of those who voted to remain. But that said, there are things we believe we can speak with one voice on. Of course, when we speak together, Pamela, we speak for 10 million people. So I do hope that makes an impression on the powers that be, those who hold the purse strings in London.
Absolutely, because it took forever to get the budget agreed and stormed in the first place. The last thing we want now is more setbacks.
Well, we actually made some progress this year, Pamela. In June, we did a monitoring round in June. That itself was a bit of a surprise, and it was the fastest ever monitoring round. So I think the fresh start and storm has brought a new energy about the place and a determination and a common purpose, certainly in government, to get things done better. No one expected, even those in London who supported a Brexit, even they didn't expect a victory, which is why there has been, I think, so much uncertainty since. And it hasn't been, I think the majority of the aftershocks from the vote have not been to the benefit of our economy. The uncertainty, of course, at the minute is definitely a break on investment. The Governor of the Bank of Ireland has said, the Governor of the Bank of England has said we're now in a downturn. And I suppose what I want to do, and I think it would be true of my ministerial colleagues in Scotland and Wales, is we want to prevent or do what we can to prevent this downturn turning into a recession. So we do need, I think, extra resources to create a stimulus for our economies rather than let this Brexit aftershock roll over us and do really very bad damage to our economy.
Because as we all have been hearing and people have been saying, is we just still don't really know how it is going to affect the economy. We have so many different sectors who rely on that investment, from agriculture through to aircraft industry, and so many other industries as well that rely on the money, that we don't know where is it going to come from, or is it there in the pot for us to get?
Well, that's exactly true, and you'll know that there's a lot of chaos, I suppose, in London. There's no leader yet, their new leader appointed for the Conservative Party, so it seems that the new leader will be the person to trigger the exit negotiations. So that could be the end of this year or the start of next year. That itself could take 2 years. So who knows, when every time I pick up a paper, there's a different view on whether Brexit will actually take part. I suppose for our part, there are certain things that we have tried to do as we formulate a plan to help our own people through this through this crisis, I think it could be called. And part of that, of course, is we get around £400 million every year from Europe in peace money, Interreg money. And we get around £250 million, £250 million in farm payments as well. So one of the first things we have to do is to try and protect those programmes, commit to them, and then try and get them underwritten in the time ahead. And both the Irish government and the executive have said they want to protect those programmes. But there are real questions that industry is asking about the necessity to have free trade across the entire Eurozone, to have a movement of labour as well, of course, with many of our big companies in Belfast. If you think about the Citigroups, the Concentrics, the Allstates, the Liberties, they have a very international workforce, and I think it's important for them as well that there is this free movement of labour. So a lot of uncertainty. I think that despite that, there's an onus on the executive, and I think this is true of the ministers in Wales and Scotland as well, to try and come up with some ideas which will ensure that we don't get rolled over by this Brexit juggernaut. And essential to that, really key to that, is we need to grow the budget. So if you heard Chancellor Osborne immediately after the referendum vote, he said he had five big ideas. One of those was what he calls the Northern Powerhouses, and that's putting additional money into the north of England. I think our message to the Chancellor is that the financial settlement he imposed on us in 2015 meant a real terms reduction in our budget between now and 2020. I think the message needs to go to the Chancellor that now that he's abandoned his budget surplus austerity idea by 2020, he needs to take his foot off the austerity pedal and let us grow the budgets in the time ahead. I think that is one way that we can counter the worst effects of the Brexit on our economy.
We saw Nicola Sturgeon going to Europe and saying, look, OK, yes, UK has voted out, but we as Scotland voted to stay in. Can you help? And didn't really seem to get much purchase there. Is it something that as Scotland and Northern Ireland and, OK, Wales did vote to go out, but could we go to Europe and talk directly to them? Or do you think as one voice, it's worth talking once again with England, with Scotland, with Wales and Northern Ireland together?
Well, as you say, the unity around the Brexit vote isn't there between the three devolved administrations, because the Welsh did vote to leave, even though the Labour finance minister I'm meeting was very much in the Remain camp. I think there are two aspects of our lobbying and advocacy in Europe. First of all, we need to protect the monies coming in, and I hope next month to go and visit the European Investment Bank, which has been a big supporter of the peace process and of investment in the north. But as well as that, when we make our advocacy, and you know I really don't believe this is a done deal. I do want the vote to remain at home to be respected. But I also accept that the government, the executive, is split on this because our partners in government, the DUP, are in the Leave camp. So while being cognizant of that, I do want the Irish government to make the very strongest case for us when negotiations start. And I suppose it's a trump card for us that while both Martin McGuinness and Arlene Foster said they want to represent us in negotiations, the Irish government will be at the other side of the table, and I think it's up to them to insist that the mandate to remain is respected and that we don't end up with a deal which does even more damage. Just, it's an important point, Pamela, we did some contingency planning as an executive, and one of those pieces of work was we commissioned a report from Oxford Economics into the effect of a Brexit, and what that report said was there would be a recession if there was a vote for Brexit, that recession would be hardest and longest in the north, and therefore I think it's incumbent upon us to take extra steps. And one of the things that I have been discussing, I was out and about last week, and I was in Ballycastle with the Chamber, I was in Derry with the Chamber, I was in Ballymena with the Mayor Wheels of Ballymena, and one of the things people are saying is, well, can we have a stimulus, can we have additional measures in the time ahead? I think it's going to take us a while to formulate that, but it is my view that yes, we do need additional measures so that we don't want more of our young people leaving. We were starting to make a bit of a recovery. It was tough, it wasn't fast enough, and this I think is a setback, and we need to find a way through it.
Is this very much going to be like a brainstorming session between the three ministers with plans then to go to government and say, go to Westminster and say, right, this is what the three of us have jointly come together and would like you to look at?
Yes, and these trilaterals, the last one happened last August, as I understand it, and Arlene Foster was the finance minister then. And I think that when we come together, it does give us a better understanding of each other's position. The British Chancellor has offered a meeting to the three finance ministers. So partly we are getting to know each other's situation better, seeing where the common ground is, seeing where we can unite in common purpose. But also we are preparing for that meeting with George Osborne. And at that meeting, I think number one or top of the agenda will be pushing back against austerity. I mean, it seems that the British government is admitting that austerity was self-defeating, that it was a brake on economic growth. They seem to be certainly abandoning some of their targets, but will they also accept that they can't impose budget cuts on the devolved regions, on the devolved administrations? So that's top of the agenda. But there are other things in terms of how the Treasury has been dealing with us, which will also be up for discussion.
Well, Martin, thank you very much indeed for taking time out to join me on the programme this morning. Wish you every success with the two other ministers in Cardiff today.
Thank you, and I hope the weather improves in Belfast.
Don't we all, Martin?
Sure.
Thank you very much indeed. Martin O'Mullier, the Finance Minister, who's meeting the Scottish and Welsh counterparts later today in Cardiff for talks on the implications of the EU referendum vote and what it will mean for the devolved governments.